Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
This morning, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Last Sunday morning, we started talking about the subject of grace, and particularly about understanding grace. Getting an understanding of it, what it is, and, you know, we're just going to, you know, preach on this just as long as, I feel like we should. And so, I don't know, we may be here a few weeks, I don't know, but we're here now, all right? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, go there. See, to understand grace, you got to understand God, God's grace. God's a God of grace. Grace emanates from Him, it comes from Him, you know. He's a God of, Peter said He's the God of all grace. So there's more than one kind of grace, which we'll talk about that later on, you know. There's grace for all kinds of things, you know. So, but God's good God. Amen. Now, so we're going to begin reading here. I may look at a few scriptures this morning, but let's go here to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. The Bible says, therefore, if any man, that'd be any woman, person, is in Christ, he's a new creature.
Amen.
A new creation. Glory to God. Do you know you're a new creature? Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Now think about back to my salvation experience, you know. Everything changed. You know, I mean, where I went changed. The way I spent my money changed. You know, what I watched on TV changed. The way I talked changed. The way I thought changed. Where I was at on Sunday morning and Wednesday night and Sunday night changed.
Right.
Where I was at on Friday night, Saturday night changed.
Right.
My friends changed.
Yes.
I remember after I got saved, one of my friends come by and I don't know why I did this. It was one of those, you know, brain dead moments, I guess. But he said, come on, let's go. You know, some of the guys are out on the pontoon boat on the lake and, you know, you don't have to do anything. Let's just go out there. And so I did, you know, and got out there, you know, and they're doing their thing, you know, got on the boat, you know, and they were so glad to see me, you know, happy to see me, like our long lost friend is back, you know. And so they're, you know, they're doing their thing and they pass a joint to me, you know, and I looked back and I thought, maybe I passed it on, maybe I should have threw it in the lake, but if I'd have thrown it in the lake, they probably would have threw me in the lake, so... I'm not that great a swimmer. And so I passed on. One of my friends said to me, he said, now I know, you know. He knew what had happened to me, of course. And he said, but nothing's changed. And I realized that day how wrong that was. Everything had changed. Everything had changed. This wasn't home any longer. Being with these friends wasn't home any longer. I didn't feel good here. I didn't feel right here. I didn't feel like I belonged here. I thought, as soon as I can get out of here, I'm out of here. They're going to have to come with me. I can't go with them. Hallelujah. If they want to be my friend, they're going to have to come where I'm going. Because all things became new for me, glory to God. Hallelujah. Old things passed away. And I didn't even realize when I got saved how much old things had passed away. I didn't realize all that God had done for me in redemption. I didn't realize it. I was later to discover just how much had changed in my life. And it's still changing. Glory be to God. Are you with me today? Man, I'm telling you, everything changed about me. And my friend, I appreciate what he was trying to tell me. He was trying to tell me, okay, you're religious, we're not, but we'll still be friends. But that wasn't the issue. The issue was I was born again. I was pursuing something different. And there's no way we could run together because we weren't going to do the same things. I was going to lift my hands and worship God. I was going to read His Word. I was going to pray. I was going to be around the saints, glory to God. I was going to sing the songs of Zion, glory to God. They were going to do dope, man. They were going to sing. They were going to listen to Led Zeppelin and AC/DC. I mean, it had changed. It wasn't that I was better than them. I was born again. It wasn't, you know, I found something better, glory to God. People can tell me what they want to tell me, man. I've tried both sides. I found out serving God, man, it's the best there is. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I like what my friend Pastor Carter says. He says, I am a substance abuser. And the substance I abuse is faith. Faith is the substance. Hallelujah. I thought, yeah, brother, I got that, man. I understand that, man. So that's what Paul said. He said, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Why? Because, man, I'm telling you, you can get really intoxicated spiritually on the Spirit of God, man. I mean, He just comes and fills your life. And
hallelujah.
Glory be to God. Phyllis and I were on the back roads of Pike County yesterday, and I'm telling her, I said, yeah, a cop chased me all the way down this road and down this road and into the driveway. I said, but when I got in the driveway, he wasn't there. I was hallucinating the whole thing, but I ran from him all. I ran miles from him getting away from him. You know, and you wake up, and you don't know if you're going to even wake up the next morning. But when you get full of the Holy Ghost, you wake up feeling good.
Amen.
You don't have cops chasing you.
Amen.
Glory be to God. And it is the best. So, you know, when this scripture says all things became new, I know exactly what he's talking about because it all became new. I mean, I started thinking different. You know, God just began to really change, and He will if you allow Him to. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you can get born again, and you can stay in a low level of Christianity if you want to. That's your business. But I wouldn't stay there because there's a higher life, and it isn't Miller either. It's fellowship with God. There's a higher life, praise God. So He said, all things became new, you know. And He said, now notice this, and all things are of God. Everything that, you know, that you get in a new birth, it's of God. Hallelujah. It's of God. And all things are of God. Now notice this, who hath reconciled us to Himself. Now I want to stop just for a minute. Is this all right? Now listen now. I want you to notice as we read this passage how many times reconcile or reconciliation's in here, okay? Just pay attention to that. It says, and verse 18, all things are of God who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, or to know, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God, for He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Man, that's a rich scripture right there. Whew. What's God? You know, listen now. You know, people, you know, there used to be a gospel song, and it would, you know, because people get confused about who God is and what He is, but God's a God of grace. But there used to be a gospel song, God's going to get you for that. You know that song? You know, I'm telling the truth then. There's a gospel song, God's going to get you for that. Honey, if God was going to get you, we'd all be got a long time ago. He's into reconciliation. Five times in those verses, it says reconcile, reconciliation. God said, I was in Christ reconciling the world to myself. Now I'm in you, and I want you to carry on the ministry of reconciliation. Yeah. See, it's not that people think that people go to hell because they, you know, they did this or they did that. They go to hell because they don't get reconciled to God. You understand that? See, this is what the Bible told us to go out and preach. It didn't tell us to go out and preach, you bunch of low-down, no-good sinners. It said, preach reconciliation. God's forgiven it, but you can't receive it if you don't become reconciled to Him. That's good news. Hallelujah. The gospel's good news. How many know that? I said the gospel's good news. It's good news. It's not bad news, it's good news. And so, you know, sometimes we forget that God's reconciling people to Himself. I've told you my big flub up. Back in 1984, I was in, what city was I in? Fort Worth, Texas. I think it was 106 degrees. And I'm walking down the street, and this guy comes up to me, you know, and he's, you know, he looks like he's not doing really well. He's got long, greasy hair. And he says, and now you have to understand, everybody say 1984.
1984.
That was a while ago. So when I tell you what he said to me, you won't laugh. He said to me, he said, I just got out of jail. And he said, I'm hungry. And he said, I will sell you my comb for 89 cents. I needed a comb in those days. I don't need one today. I looked at his hair and I thought, I don't want your comb, brother. You know what I'm saying? No offense, but I don't want your comb. So I said, I'll tell you what, if you let me pray with you, I'll give you $20. Oh, man, he jumped on that. I'd let you pray with me for $20. Line up. You know, so he's like, yeah, man. So I prayed with him to lead him to the Lord. Whether he meant it or he didn't, at least he heard the message. And so I did pray with him, and there was a meeting in town, and I invited him to the meeting, you know. But what happened was, in between that night's meeting and that when I gave him the $20, he went and took the money, and him and his friends bought a bottle, man. And so I see him passing this bottle around, standing on the street. And the first thing that came to my mind was, you bunch of idiots. I no more said that than the Lord said, let's go back a few years and see where you were at. I thought, well, that was me on the corner there, acting the fool. See, I'd gotten a little too religious for my britches and forgot God was into reconciliation. Now, that night I went to the meeting. Okay, it was a big meeting. Thousands of people in a big coliseum. Now, that day, this guy was easy to see because he had on a bright red Miller High Life beer T-shirt on. That night, I'm at the meeting, and all of a sudden, I'm sitting on this side of the auditorium. All of a sudden, I see on the other side of the auditorium, I see a guy stand up. You can't miss it, a big, bright red Miller High Life shirt. I'm thinking, that's not an usher. And so he comes down, and I can see what he's doing. This is live satellite TV. This meeting's on live satellite TV. It's live TV. I can see him. He's walking down to the front, and he's going to have the preacher pray for him. Well, naturally and rightly, security stopped him. They don't know what he's going to do. They stop him. They take him, and they take him someplace. And I see him after the meeting, and I said, you want to go get a hamburger? He said, no. He said, this group called Maranatha got a hold of me. And if you're old enough, Maranatha was a college group, kids that witnessed and shared the gospel. He said, they got a hold of me, cast the devil out of me. He said, I'm just going to take my Bible, go to the park and read. Now, I don't know where that guy's at today. He may be on TV preaching now. I don't know. But all I know is God's into reconciliation. And see, you can get so religious that, like, man, they're doing evil things. Well, that's what people don't know the Lord do. That's what you did.
Come on.
And you still need a little help every now and then. Don't look at me like that. We all still do. So we have to remember God is a God of reconciliation. And I love that he said, he's not imputing their trespasses against them. Now that word, this is interesting. That word imputing means he's not taking inventory. And God's just not up there just, I used to kind of think God was that way. You know, he's up there and every time somebody misses it, he writes it down. You know, oh, I caught you. All right, bad attitude. I caught you. When I first got saved, this guy, thank God I had more sense. He tried to give me a sin sheet. That way, if you got ready to do something, you go in there and see if it's sin. Now, listen, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I believe in living for God, and I believe in living clean. But I don't believe God's that dictatorial that he's just waiting for you to make a mistake so he can write it down. He's ready for reconciliation. He's a God of grace. He's a God of mercy. Come on, if he wasn't, we'd all be in trouble. Come on. See, it's the devil that's that way. It's the devil. You know, the devil, you know, the devil doesn't even know what sin is until you commit one. Then all of a sudden, oh, I remember, that's a sin. Before it wasn't a sin. But if a Christian does it, all of a sudden he reminds them that's a sin.
Come on now.
Are you with me now? Isn't it funny how before you do it, he says it's no big deal. After you do it, it's a big deal. Well, he's the accuser of the brethren. Thank God for Romans chapter 8. Now you understand, you know how I preach. We understand that we're endeavoring to live for God, man. I mean, if you don't have a heart to live for God, I don't know that you got born again.
Come on now.
But at the same time, you're not perfected yet in the natural. You are spiritually, but you're not in the natural. And so you need to understand God's a good God. He's a God. And there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
Amen.
Well, what does that mean, walk not after the flesh, after the Spirit? Well, if you read verse 9 of Romans 8, he tells you, he said, if Christ is in you, you're in the Spirit. God puts you in the Spirit when you got born again.
Yes.
Now there's no condemnation to us.
Amen.
Glory be to God.
Amen.
Now, all right, so thank God, God's into reconciliation, and he's not up there taking inventory. You know, like, oh man, I'm telling you what, oh, they just missed it. Write that down, Gabriel. Write that. Come on, how many ever, you know, I went through kind of that where the devil just beat on me. It's like every bad attitude, every wrong thought, you know, it's like by the end of the day, you felt like he was about that tall. And one day it dawned on me, this isn't God. I said, this isn't God.
Amen.
This is the devil. This is the accuser of the brethren. God's not out doing that. Yes, I need to live right. Yes, I need to live according to his word. But he's not out pointing out all my faults.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God.
Brother, if he was, he could sure do it, couldn't he?
Yeah.
Amen. Now, let's go in our Bibles. Let me see. Let's go to Exodus. I want to go there. Exodus chapter 25. Exodus 25. I'm just talking about how God's a God of grace. And I want to show you something this morning. It's pretty simple, but I think it'll help all of us. Exodus 25. Because condemnation, it's one of the major tools Satan uses to keep you out of the life of the Spirit. If he can keep you beat up, beat down. Exodus 25, thank you. You know, Exodus 25, even an old dog needs some love.
Amen.
I didn't call him an old dog. But you know, an old dog got enough sense to know, you know, if you love it or not. That's right. Amen. Now, Exodus 25, go with me to verse 21. God here is, he's actually telling Moses how to set up the tabernacle. You know, the one that the Israelites had. And in verse 21, he said, you shall put the mercy seat above upon the ark. And in the ark, you shall put the testimony that I will give you. Now, that's very eye-opening because God's detailed. I said, he's detailed. And everything has a purpose. You with me? See, I think that's sometimes where we miss it. Why we don't receive from God. We don't realize God's detailed. And he's got a purpose. And sometimes we just maybe overlook things or think, well, it doesn't matter that much. But it does. Right? You ever put something together and you leave some parts out? See, sometimes it matters. See, I'm a big one. I don't like to read instructions. When I want to do something, I want to do it right now. I want it done right now. I want to sit down for 30 minutes and read the book. And so normally what I look for is the picture. I want to see the picture. Just show me a picture of it. And I'll put it together by looking at the picture. Now, I have learned that sometimes that works. But did you know what that means? Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes there was a real important part you left out. And you find out, you know, step three was important. You know? Come on, have you ever done that? Am I the only one that does stuff like that? All right. Okay. See, you think you're going to save a little bit of time, you know. Amen. And it's just so clear. Step one, step two, step three. I got so mad at a coffee maker one day. I was ready to take the thing and throw it in the backyard. Now, what would that have done? Would it fixed it? No, but it made me feel really good. And I was so upset with this coffee maker because it wasn't doing what I thought it ought to do. And so I did. I thought, I'm just going to take it. I'm going to throw the stupid thing out in the backyard and be done with it. Am I the only one that does that kind of stuff? I didn't, but I thought about it. But guess what I found? If you read the instructions and you follow them verbatim, voila, it worked just like the manufacturer said it worked. You just had to, read, see. Well, see, God's that way. God, when He gave when He gives these commandments or He gives these directions, that's because that's the way it works. See, I've had people challenge me before and say, are you trying to tell me there's only one way to heaven? Well, yes. Isn't that narrow-minded? No, that's called being right. God gave us instructions how to get there. And I think something that important, it should be pretty specific. I mean, what did you think if you said, well, Pastor, could you tell me where Muncie, Indiana's at? I'll just go north. Well, am I wrong? No, it is north. Are you going to get there? Probably not, because it's not specific enough. I got to tell you, man, take 69, hit 465, go around, get back on 69, and look for the Muncie exit. Keep driving till you see it, then get off. So you got to be a little bit more specific, right? Amen. See, you're going to make a cake. I mean, no, you got to be a little bit more specific. See, older people that cook, they're not very specific because they got it in their head. Then you ask them for directions. Well, I put a little bit of that in there, and a little bit of this. Well, what's a little bit? Well, I don't know, not much. Well, what's not much? Well, just a little bit. See, we need to be more specific. They're like, give me a number. Well, I don't know, 2 or 3. Come on, anybody ever got directions like that? I can ask my dear mother sometimes how to make something. Well, you just put a little list in there. Well, I don't understand that. I got to know a number. Is it a quarter cup, half cup, 2.5 cups? Got to know. God's specific, see. And He said, you put that mercy seat upon the ark. And in the ark, you put the testimony that I'm going to give you. Now, what was the testimony? It was the law, the Ten Commandments. So God said, put the ark, the mercy seat, above the ark. Now, why did He say that? Because He wants us to get this revelation that mercy is above the law. There's nothing wrong with the law. All the law is telling us is what we deserve for sin. This is what we deserve. This is what we got coming. But God said, I'm going to put mercy above it. See, glory to God. Now, notice what He said. Verse 22, He said, there I'll meet with you and there I'll commune with you from above the mercy seat. I'm going to have to talk with you from above the mercy seat. If I talk with you from the Ark of the Covenant itself, if I talk to you from the law, you're in trouble. I'm going to meet with you at the mercy seat between the two cherubims and which are above, upon the Ark of the Testimony of all things that I'll give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel. Go to Romans chapter 3. I know we're looking at some scriptures this morning, but I'm trying to develop something, so I'm going to have to look at some scriptures to develop a little bit. Romans chapter 3, go there. Everybody say mercy seat. See, the mercy seat was above the ark. It was the lid to the Ark of the Covenant that had the Ten Commandments in it. And so God was just showing Moses by this that the mercy is above the law. And when I meet with you, I'm going to meet with you on the basis of mercy. if I meet with you on the basis of the law, you're in trouble because you broke it. You've broken it and you will break it. So I can't meet with you on that basis or you're in trouble. Amen. Why is the law important? Well, the law is important because we need to know what's killing us. Right? See? Now, all right, Romans chapter 3, go there, verse 24. The Bible says, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remissions of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. In other words, what that's saying is God overlooked the previous sins that were committed in the old covenant because He was going to put Jesus forth to pay for them. So He just overlooked them, you know. Now, but what I wanted you to see was this. It says, the King James says this, God is setting forth to be a propitiation. But here is the interesting thing. That word propitiation actually is the word mercy seat. You can look it up in your Strong's Concordance. It just simply says, Jesus is the mercy seat. Amen. Hallelujah. Just like the mercy seat was over that ark that contained the commandments, Jesus is over the ark that contains the commandments. He is the mercy seat in this New Testament. And God says, if you want to commune with me, come through Him. Woo, hallelujah. If you want to talk with me, come through Him. Why? Because you're going to get mercy that way. Glory to God. He's the mercy seat. And when we come to God through Jesus Christ, we get mercy. That's why God said reconciliation. I was in Christ, the mercy seat, reconciling the world to myself. And now, I want you to go out and do the same thing in Christ's stead, in His place. Amen. You reconcile people to God's mercy. Come on. Hallelujah. Does that mean that we agree with all that they... No, see, Jesus didn't do that. But I'll tell you what. I'll show you some scripture if we have time. He wasn't religious about it. He put forth a clear message of repentance. But He accepted everybody in without pointing out and making a big deal about their sin. He knew something. Sinners sin. Dogs bark. Right? Dogs dig. So what Phyllis tells me, she didn't want a dog in the house. She doesn't want a dog digging up her yard. So I can't have a dog. I got her. She's not a dog, though. You know, here's the thing. God knows what people do before they know Him. He knows that's their nature. He's not trying to get us to get them to quit doing that. He's trying to get us to Him. And when they come to Him, all things become new. I never heard, now listen, I'm sure there might have been, but the church I went to where I got saved, I didn't hear preaching, you dirty, filthy sinner, if you'll quit smoking those joints, if you'll quit doing that drugs, God will save you. No, I heard get saved. Amen. And God will deliver you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, sometimes we get it backwards, you know. And we got to understand, you know, we're trying to get sinners to change. Now you need to get sinners born again. You need to get reconciled to God. Amen. Amen. Lester Roloff, an old preacher. Anybody remember Lester Roloff? Randy, you remember him? An old preacher. He said something was so good. He said, to save America, you're going to have to get America saved. Amen. That is so good. You got to get them saved. Well, what's our message? It's a message of reconciliation. Hey, man, God doesn't have anything against you. He's a God of grace. Amen. Well, and that means I'm just forgiven. No, you have to be reconciled. You have to accept it. You can't give somebody something they won't take. They got to take it. But that's the message. God's already done something about your sin. Come be reconciled to God. Hallelujah. He's ready to receive you. Woo, praise God. He's a God of mercy and grace. Glory be to God. Thank God for it. You know, the Bible calls it the throne of grace, not judgment. Is God ever going to judge? Yes. But you know what? He's holding it off till the very end, and that's for those that wouldn't be reconciled. Now, as Christians, we'll give account of the deeds committed in our body, what we did with what God gave us. But we're still in heaven. Hallelujah. Are you with me now? Let me tell you something. If all you do is get under the crack of the pearly gates, that's the way you get in, you'll be glad. But Peter said we could have an abundant entrance. What's that? Well, that just means doing what God called you to do with your life. You can have an abundant entrance. But I'm going to tell you, if there are people, Jude said you just snatch them out of the fire. They just barely get in, but they get in. That's what Jesus said. Many that are last will be first, and first will be last. Remember that parable he told? The guy, a householder went out and hired people to work in his vineyard. And some worked all day long. Some worked you half a day. Some worked about an hour. He gave them all the same amount.
Yeah, that's right.
And they got aggravated. The ones that worked all day long said, "We worked all day long." He said, "Didn't I tell you I'd give you a penny for the day? Take that which is yours. Go your way. You ain't got nothing to complain about. I told you what I'd give you. Why are you mad? Because I'm good." Are you with me now? See, you can't get mad, you know, because you work. I've been working for God for 57 years. And you get to heaven and somebody got saved on their last breath. Well, how'd you get here? We're going to be, I honestly believe, when we get to heaven, we're going to be surprised at some of the people we see. Because We didn't think they made it, but we don't know what they did with their last breath. What about the thief on the cross? Are you with me now? You don't know now. Listen, you don't know. Elvis may be up there. I hate to think he's not. I hate to think anybody's not, but I hope Elvis is up there. Amen. This is two sermons in a row. I've talked about Elvis. What is it? God, why? Because God's good. I said God is good. Amen. God is so good. Praise God. Now, all right. In Romans, let's go to John. Let's go there. Come on, are you getting something this morning? John chapter 8, let's go there. I just want to show you this. If we don't get this, that God's mercy is above His law, and we magnify the law instead of His mercy, we're just doing it the wrong way. People aren't going to receive doing it that way. We've got to magnify the mercy of God. Are you with me now? See, sometimes, because, you know, just like that little incident in my life where I got a little indignant watching those guys do those things, and I had this momentary indignant, you know, inside, you know, being indignant inside of me and thinking, well, look at that. And God had to remind me, wait a minute, who do you think you are? You were doing the same thing a few years back. What's my growth? Actually, it was 84, so I got born again in 81. It hadn't been that long ago. I was doing the same thing and worse, and the Lord had to remind me, who do you think you are? You're getting a little bit too big for your britches. You got saved by my grace, and they need the same thing. I know sometimes sinners act a fool, but so did you. Now, come on, are you with me now? John chapter 8, go there, verse 1. It says, "And Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and then early in the morning he came again into the temple. And all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought to him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery, in the very act. Now, I don't know, you know, but this seems like a setup to me. How you don't often catch people in the act of adultery, unless you're looking for it. So they said, verse 5, now Moses in the law commanded that us that such should be stoned, but what do you say? Now notice this, they said this tempting him that they might have to accuse him. What does that mean? Well, here's what it is. You know, they're always trying to catch Jesus. Remember that time they brought him this penny and they said, Master, should we pay taxes to Caesar or not? Or should we give to God? You know. They're trying to catch him because they knew that the religious people wouldn't like him if he took sides with Caesar. The Jews did not like Caesar. He is so good. He said, well, show it to me. Don't you love Jesus? Show it to me. He looks at that coin. He says, well, whose image is that on there? They said, well, that's Caesar's. He said, well, give to Caesar's what's Caesar's then. Give to God what's God's. If it's got Caesar's picture on it, it must belong to him. Give it to him. I love what this says. It says, I love the King James here because it says it, you know, in a really funny way. It says, no one after that durst ask him any more questions. Anybody know what durst means? Durst means nobody dared to ask him any more questions. Just shut up. This guy will rip you. This is one of those moments. They're trying to catch. Here's what they know. They know that if he says stone her, he's the very preacher that's been going around and having lunch with tax collectors and sinners and harlots and showing them mercy and getting them saved. They know that. They know that if he does this, he's going to lose his influence if he says, stone the woman. But they also know if he says, don't stone her, it's like he dismisses the law of Moses. And now he's in trouble with the religious crowd. So they think they've got him. We're either going to get him in trouble with the sinners and publicans he's trying to lead into the kingdom, or we're going to get him in trouble with the religious people of the kingdom. He's too smart for any of us. Look what he did. This they said, verse 6, tempting him that they might accuse him, but he stooped down and he wrote with his finger on the ground as though he heard him not. So they continued asking him. And he lifted up himself and said unto them, well, I'll tell you what, he that's without sin among you, whichever one of you guys haven't sinned, go ahead and throw a stone at her. Be the first one to do it. And he stooped, and again, he stooped down and he wrote on the ground. Wouldn't you love to know what he wrote? It'd be really interesting to find out what he wrote. Maybe he wrote the names of their girlfriends. He would know if the Spirit of God showed it to him, right? I don't know what he wrote, but whatever he wrote, I'd like to have known. And the Bible says, and verse 9, whatever it was, they got real convicted. It says, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. Verse 10, when Jesus lifted up himself, he saw none but the woman. And he said unto her, woman, where's your accusers? Has no man condemned you? She said, no man, Lord. Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn you. Just go and sin no more.
Amen.
Isn't that rich? Mm-hmm. Now here's what he did. He didn't dismiss the law of Moses. Did you know the law of Moses said if you were caught in adultery, you were both to be stoned? Did you know there was a king by the name of David that got caught in adultery and murder?
Yes, he did.
Didn't he? But did you know the prophet said God's put away your sin and you're going to live? Did God dismiss the law of Moses? No. No, God all along showed us out of the Old Testament, out of the old tabernacle. There's something above that law. Now, if you want to fall on the law, you're in trouble. But I'd fall on the mercy of God. And see, all Jesus did, he didn't dismiss the law of Moses. He didn't dismiss the law of Moses. He didn't dismiss the woman's sin. All he did was just operate by the spirit of the law. He operated instead of the letter. He operated by the spirit of the law, and the spirit of the law says mercy is above it.
That's right.
If it wouldn't have been, David would have been stoned.
That's right.
Thank God it is. God's a God of grace, everybody.
Amen.
And mercy's above the law. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Give me a couple more scriptures. I know we're looking at some scripture this morning. But it's good to see this. This isn't just one or two scriptures. Go to James chapter 2. See, Jesus didn't dismiss the law of Moses. He didn't just brush over the woman's sin. He gave her mercy. And he said, don't go and sin no more. Don't do that. Amen. Praise God. Now, James chapter 2, and I'm going to look at one more and we'll be done for today. Is that all right? We'll have communion and then you can go celebrate the 4th of July. Amen. James chapter 2, go with me to verse 10. I'll just cut in on this, you know, what James is saying. But James 2:10, do you have it? All right, verse 10 says, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he's guilty of all. For he that said, don't commit adultery, he's the same one that said, don't do murder. Don't murder. Now, if you commit no adultery, yet if you murder, you become a transgressor of the law." What's he saying? He said, well, look, man. He said, the same one that gave one law is the same one that gave the other law. Right? And he said, if you offend in one point, you've broken the whole thing because it's the same person that said it all. You've transgressed that person that gave the law. So what is he saying? Now, I know some sin is worse than others. Don't misunderstand me. There is a truth to that. The Bible preaches that. But it's still all breaking the law.
Yeah.
It's kind of like those front windows out in the lobby. You know, if Pastor Chuck comes through and with his BB gun and he shoots a hole in it, guess what? It's not right. It's broke. Right? But if Brother Greg comes pulling in here one day and going too fast and misses his brakes and drives his truck through it, and now his truck's in the lobby and there's glass everywhere, that's big, isn't it? We're going to notice that more than the BB coming through it. I mean, you're standing out there in that lobby and a truck comes crashing through, that disrupts your day, doesn't it? That's big. I mean, he transgressed big. But guess what? It's broke either way.
It is.
Maybe Pastor Chuck didn't break it as big, but to God it's broke.
Yeah, that's right.
There's only one way to fix it.
Right.
That's through Jesus.
That's right.
So it doesn't matter. You'll be like, well, I was a good sinner. Well, you were okay. You were a good sinner. But you're still a sinner. I was a bad sinner. What's the matter? Well, I just believe God just weighs it in the balance, you know. Well, if he does, it's gonna be meeny, meeny, tekel, eupharsin. Pastor, don't speak French. I never like it when you preach in French. That's Hebrew. And that's out of the Old Testament, where the hand wrote on the wall, Nebuchadnezzar's son, Belshazzar, he's in there partying, and there's a hand, he sees a hand. You know, he's even got the utensils out of the tabernacle and partying with them. And all of a sudden a hand comes out of nowhere and writes on the wall, "Meeny, meeny, tekel, eupharsin." The Bible said his joints just shook. Oh, find out what this meant. So they bring Daniel. He said, "I'll tell you what it means. You've been weighed in the balance and found wanting. So if you want God to weigh you in the balance, you're going to be found wanting. But through Jesus." Amen.
Amen.
Now let's finish reading this out, and we're going to look at one more scripture. We'll receive communion. Verse 12 tells us, Paul, see, what James is talking about is not being so judgmental. In verse 12, he says, "So speak ye, and so do you as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. See, there is a law we're going to be judged by, but it's the law of the New Testament. It's the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy that hasn't shown any mercy. So if you don't show any mercy, then you don't get any mercy. Is that what it's saying? Yes. And notice this, mercy, the King James says, mercy rejoices against judgment, or literally that word rejoice means it exalts over judgment, or I like the New King James, mercy triumphs over judgment. What it's saying is the same thing I've been saying all along, mercy is above the law. Go to Matthew chapter 9. This is it. Matthew chapter 9. Go there. I just want you to see God's a God of grace. Jesus didn't. You say, well, what about all these Old Testament laws? They were all true. They were all good. Paul says they're all spiritual. The problem is we can't keep them by ourselves. We have to be born again. And even at that, we still got flesh we deal with that you know as well as I do that after you've been saved, you've missed it. So thank God for mercy. Now this is Matthew chapter 9. Let me see where I want to go. Matthew 9:10. It says, it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat or food or eating in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. Now you have to know. Now listen, now I hope you hear my heart here. You have to know he's not pointing out their sins to them or they wouldn't be coming. He's preaching good news of deliverance to them.
Yes.
Right? Amen. They wouldn't be coming. He's loving them. See? And when the Pharisees, the church people, saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eat your master with publicans and sinners? I love his answer. But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that are whole, they don't need a physician. But they're sick. These are the people that need me. Right? Well, why is that doctor taking care of sick people? Because well people don't need him. I've never gone to a doctor and said, you know, I just feel great. I just thought I'd stop by. Kidding, no. You go because you need something, right? Well, what's wrong with you? Well, nothing. I feel really good. I just thought I'd come say hey. Verse 13. Notice this, but go ye and learn what that means. Listen to this, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I'm not come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. What was he saying to him? I will have mercy and not sacrifice. I'm telling you what he's telling him. He said, I desire act of mercies on your part more than I want your sacrifices. You guys are mercifulless. That's the way to say that. You don't have any mercy. I desire you to show acts of mercy than all your sacrifices you're supposedly given to God. Just be merciful. Why? Because people need help. God's a God of grace. And to understand grace, you got to understand God. Amen? That this is who He is. This is what He is. Praise God. Does that mean that, you know, see, now don't take that the way some are teaching it today. That means, well, we can just do what we want to and live any way we want because God's a God of grace. Well, if that's your attitude, why don't you come up here and get saved today? Because you didn't meet the same Jesus I met. The same Jesus I met, the Bible said in Him is no darkness at all. And if you're with Him and hanging with Him, you don't even like darkness. When you do miss it, you're sorry.
Right.
And the only reason you miss it is because you let your flesh trip you up.
Come on now.
Right? That's the only reason. You're not looking for a way to get away with it.
Right.
You're looking for a way to get rid of it.
Amen.
Huge difference. But in our journey, a long life's road, we're going to fall in some debt. This is an unbelief. This is just a man who's lived for God for a long time. Talking to you. We're going to fall in some ditches occasionally. We're going to need pulled out. And we need some people that understand the heart of God and mercy and jerk us out. Amen. Instead of someone saying you deserved it. No. We need somebody that's got some mercy. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.